This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, we're covering what's going on with the Oregon State Legislature. And Fridays, we are talking with State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Kyle, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, first of all, I want to start off reminding folks that you and the other lawmakers have a town hall tonight.
We do. Town hall's at 6 o'clock, and it's at the Roseburg City Council chambers there. City Hall, I guess it is. And myself and Alex Scarlatos, David Brock Smith, our senator, and Court Boyce will all be in attendance. And we're going to, we'll give everybody a brief update on what's happening in Salem that we, you know, that we are doing day in and day out. And then we'll open it up for questions.
And how long do you expect it to last?
We have a hard stop in 90 minutes. So we're going to do till 7:30.
All right. And again, if people want to come over tonight, that begins at 6 o'clock. That hole is about 150 people, so they probably want to get there early.
Yeah, it would be a good idea to be there at 6. Well, I don't think we'll open the doors until 6, but I don't know what the turnout's going to be. We've had several people online, you know, RSVP, but it's been in the dozens, not hundreds.
And so that, again, that is tonight. As you look at the last few days in Salem, what are kind of some of the top highlights for you?
Well, the last few days, Kyle, have been a little difficult. We've had a lot of floor sessions. In fact, there was a threat of working today, but it is Good Friday, and I believe there was as many Democrats that wanted to go home as there were Republicans that wanted to go home. But we did some pretty controversial bills, and we really haven't got to the real meat and potatoes of the hard stuff yet. But most of our committees have wound down for now because we're getting the incoming Senate bills. As bills pass through the House from the Senate, they go from the House to the Senate and then backwards the other way from the Senate to the House, and then they have to arrive on both floors for a vote before they can actually be signed by the governor.
So one of the things right now seems to be, I've seen it more and more in my reading, is the whole issue of federal funding, federal priorities, the state of Oregon's stance on whether it's DEI and some other things as well. It seems like that's going to be a bigger issue here as we go along.
I really think it is. And the real issue right now is that nobody knows what's going to happen. So everybody's trying to angle around it to make sure that, you know, if Trump does cut the budget, that there's some way out. And frankly, 36%, almost 38% of our state budget is federal funding. So I don't know. There's no good way around this. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars. And there is a good way around it. We can comply with the law. That's what we should do. If we were following the law, we wouldn't be even worried about it. But we're not following the law.
And what are you, does this pretty much break down party lines in terms of people's perspectives?
Yeah, we're starting to see, you know, one of the things we do on the floor is remonstrances, and those happen after the floor session is over, but before we basically adjourn. And we're starting to see more and more remonstrances from the Democrats, anti-Trump, I'll call it. And of course, we follow up. I mean, we had a day here this last week where we, April 15th, it was tax day, and we did some bill pulls on some taxes to try to bring them from committee straight to the floor so that we would force a vote on them. Interestingly enough, all three of the bills that we tried to pull, the Democrats voted no on the pull to the floor. And one was the cat tax. We were trying to increase the ceiling on the cat tax, which would reduce the tax to businesses under 5 million, or under a million, actually, over a million. And we were also trying to pull the tax to the floor that would have eliminated tax on tips. And I mean, if there's anything that would fly in this state, you tax on tips. I mean, waiters, waitresses, people that rely on those tips to survive, wouldn't it be nice for them if they weren't paying taxes on those tips? But the Democrats chose to not allow that vote.
When they do the remonstrances, does everybody stick around for that?
It depends. Some of my colleagues are more well listened to, I should say, by the Democrats than others. I know when the Democrats are doing their remonstrances, of course, their party generally sticks around to listen to it. Sometimes Republicans will leave. Depending on who's speaking, sometimes I will exit the building myself because there are some folks that I don't need to hear a lot of what they have to say because I completely disagree with most of it.
Do you feel like those really achieve anything? It seems like just kind of a big opportunity to vent.
I think that's all it is. It's a, it's an opportunity to vent, and it, and really what it is it's a future campaign, you know, stump, so to speak, because that's what they'll use. And if you follow my social media, I don't give a lot of remonstrances. I typically talk toward the Bills. You know, I'll speak about the Bills. And in fact, recently this week, I had a long, I wouldn't say long, but a speech regarding the rent cap that the state was trying to imply on mobile home parks. And not that you know, keeping the rent low is a bad idea, but you know, the Democrats specifically that carried the bill was talking about how we need to lower the cost of living for people, and by doing the rent cap, we were gonna save the state. And reality of it is, you know, I got up and I listed off about a half a dozen taxes that they're talking about bringing on board for the transportation package. And, you know, I mean, and they include things like raising your gas tax 20 cents per gallon. So I don't know how we can talk about lowering the cost of living out of one side of our mouth and then say, by the way, we're going to rent cap this, and we're going to make it, you know, really harder for landlords, and then we're going to tax you. So
one of the bills, or I guess it's actually a couple bills, that passed, apparently waiting the governor's signature now, relates to summer learning and funding for that for the schools. Talk about that.
Yeah, the one that I recall going through the House, I think, was House Bill 2007, if I'm not mistaken. It's a good bill, and it you know, puts about a $35 million, I don't think it's biennium, $70 million biennium, but a $35 million give to the school systems so that they can plan and hold summer schools. That is not, as far as I know, they've not been signed by the governor yet, but I believe they've cleared, I think they may have both cleared both houses. And I think eventually what will happen is that money will be available, but I just don't see, it's going to be too late this year for the schools to utilize it, but I think they'll have it for next year. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, student learning and the opportunity to do the summer learning is really actually, I mean, considering our schools are some of the worst in the country, I think it'd be better if we had the option to a future make it better.
Well, and some of this as well is tied into, it's kind of a lingering pandemic situation where, you know, everything got behind and a lot of kids haven't really caught up.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you're still seeing, you know, there are some kids that were in grade school when the pandemic was, you know, was happening. And so they didn't go to school for a while. And I think this will give some of them an opportunity to catch up. I personally think that the pandemic was handled very poorly, especially in rural schools. I think we should have been going to school. You know, there's a whole lot of opinions on the whole COVID virus issues. But unfortunately, our kids are suffering for it right now. And I think there's a whole generation of kids that missed out on things like, you know, senior proms and high school football games in the name of, you know, trying to keep everybody from getting sick, I suppose.
Now, the governor, I guess it was yesterday morning, fired the head of the Oregon Public Defense Commission. That seems to be getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, I saw that. I was a little surprised by it. I didn't know there was that much tension, although I will say I had recently an experience myself where I needed, one of my relatives needed some help with somebody that was charged with some crimes, and they were going to get out of jail, and there were some threats made toward one of my relatives, and the reason they were going to get out of jail is because they didn't have a criminal defense attorney appointed for them. And what happens is, if you don't have that in line, eventually you'll get out because they can't keep holding you without you know, defense. So evidently there was, I think I read, 4,000 people still waiting defense, and so somebody was not doing their job at some point. I don't know enough about it to say who was not doing their job, but sounds like the new guy coming in has a chance of making things better, and it sounds like it was a good move on the governor's part.
Do you feel like turnover in the state administration has been higher in the last year or so?
Oh, I think so, and I think sometimes people, you know, new administrations often appoint their own people anyway, but I think that there is a fair amount of perceived corruption that's happened within the agencies. I mean, right now, the agencies, and I say the agencies are like DEQ and the, you know, Department of Health and Human Services, those are agencies, and those agencies are controlled by people that our governor put in place. And so when you have those agencies operating, you know, with basically without impunity, they can't really be impugned for anything. I mean, look at ODOT. I mean, they only lost $1 billion. It just seemed to have vanished, and nobody got fired over losing $1 billion that nobody knows where it went. At some point, the pressure comes down on you, like you're going to be held accountable. And I think a lot of these people are trying to bail out and get away, or being let go before there's some accountability coming back the other way.
Now, we're in the middle of this session. I know it's hard to judge in some ways, but do you feel like the legislature is on schedule, or are they going to need to pick up the pace in the second half?
I will tell you the legislature is very far behind, and which I'm surprised. Although, looking at the numbers from 2023, because we did a little bit of a comparison to that, and that was my first year, it wasn't. We're not as far behind as it feels. It just feels like things are really hung up right now. We are, and some of that is on purpose. I mean, your Republican caucus is making Democrats, we're reading bills, and we're killing time, running the clock out. They're not allowing us our agenda. So if they're not going to allow us our agenda, we're going to make them work for their agenda. And so you're going to see that slow down. But right now in the House, we have 1,672 active bills. But to give you a little bit of a comparison, for the Democrat bills, there's 438 alive right now that have passed floor. 114 of those have passed floor, and in the Republican side, there's 250 that are still alive, that, and only 50 have passed. So there's quite a difference. And then the Senate has a very similar following too. But here's an interesting number: 543 bills have been parked in Ways and Means. That's a big deal. You know, of course, we started out with 4,000 bills, and we've narrowed that down to, I don't know what the total number is, but when a bill goes to Ways and Means, it goes there because it has a fiscal. If it has a fiscal on it, typically with a tight budget year like what we're seeing this year, that bill goes to Ways and Means to die. Now, the Democrats will decide what bills they want to bring out of Ways and Means, and this is where your gun bills are parked right now. 3075 and 3076 that are so controversial have both gone to Ways and Means because they have a significant fiscal on both of them. So those bills could die there and not come out. If they come out, it will be because they chose to bring them out and they chose to spend state money on them.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. State Senator David Brock Smith with us from Salem on Monday. Today, in studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne talking about the Oregon State Legislature and things that are going on, busy time in the middle of the session. You've talked about the gun bills, your opposition to them. Are there other particular bills you would sort of put on the level of being bad bills?
About 90% of them, Kyle, are bad bills. You know, I have a list of bills that we are watching, and I mean, we could spend 2 or 3 hours going over that list. There's just a lot of bills that are going through that are not productive for the citizens of Oregon. They're just bills that are just, you know, very agenda oriented. There's some climate change bills that are happening. There's the tax base bills. There's so many of those that I don't even know that I could follow how many there are right now that are coming up. Hopefully some of those will die, but they're still very active. But right now we're paying a lot of attention to the wildfire bill. Senate Bill 83, they pretty much have parked our House Bill 3944 in Ways and Means. So it's or actually in revenue. We don't think our House bill is going to come out, so Senate Bill 83 is a duplicate of our bill, only coming from the Senate side. And what Senate Bill 83 does is it allows Senator Golden, who created the fire maps in the beginning, you know, back in 2020 or 2021, he created this mess, and the Senate is allowing him an opportunity to fix the mess, which unfortunately for, you know, I feel like if you've created the mess, then you should own the mess and not have an opportunity to fix it at this point. But that's where we're at. And you know what, if Senate Bill 83 is what we get to get rid of the wildfire mapping, that's what we get. It's well written. It's got some good amendments in it. And you know, we may end up in that space. The other side of that is wildfire funding, and that is very critical. And you know, we have to find $250 million, and they're trying to find that by taking your kicker, which we are opposed to. They're also talking about adding a 5 cents a bottle tax for, you know, cans and bottles, beer cans, pop cans, whatever. We're opposed to that too, because we have probably one of the best recycle programs in the country, and adding another 5 cents and making it a 15 cent deposit is going to really cause issues with that too. So there's a lot going on, and it's a little early still in session to say how it's going to end up. I will tell you the Democrats are down right now in the Senate. They're down one member that's ill, and in the House they're down one member that's ill. So right now they don't have the bill. They don't have the votes to pass a tax bill. I don't know how that's going to end up by the end of the session.
Now, what would they need to do to pull the kicker?
Put a bill out that says, well, it's part of the funding for the wildfire. I mean, they just basically have to pass it if they want to pass it. Now, it'll come out of Ways and Means, and then they'll make that decision. They'll hold everything else hostage. That's what they do. It will be an issue where if you pass this bill, we'll let this good bill go through, but only if you pass this bill. That's politics. That's the way it works. It's unfortunate, but that's what we do.
What about good bills, things that you see that you're happy about?
There are some good bills. I think the bill for the summer school thing was a good thing. There's a lot of bills that have been technical fixes to some mistakes that have been made. We also still have the bill alive that is going to, and I believe it got through the House, that's going to allow for the study of nuclear power and nuclear siting. There's another bill that actually addresses nuclear siting as well to where it's going to go. Those are good bills that, for future energy use, if they ever plan on getting to their goals, we have to have nuclear power because there's not enough wind and solar to do what they need to do on the environmental side. There's also some relatively good bills that have happened within in climate, energy, environment, but also in business and labor and commerce and consumer protection. We have passed some bills through those that have allowed for investments in fairgrounds. There also is a fairly large bill that's going to Portland. My argument for investment infrastructure for their festival grounds, my argument to that was, if we're going to do this, then we need to do something for Southern Oregon. And I think we actually did get some stuff for rural Oregon. So there's some good stuff happening.
What about what's going on in your committees?
Well, right now, committees have pretty much wound down. We're not hearing anything until the Senate bills start coming through. And the Senate doesn't have a ton of bills coming our way. Amazingly, they didn't pass that many bills off the floor. So right now, I mean, there's really nothing other than some public hearings have happened, but I don't think we're going to see any Senate bills until probably next week. We'll start seeing more Senate bills. And other than that, we're just spending all of our time on the House floor, two sessions a day. Right now, we're working till 5:30. I would suspect, because we have hundreds of bills that we have to get through, I would imagine we'll be working later than that, probably within the next week.
What about agency budgets? I'm hearing a lot. You've talked, the other lawmakers have talked about the Oregon Department of Transportation budget. We're not really hearing much about some of the other big agencies.
Yeah, but, you know, interestingly enough, a lot of that's kind of been kept quiet. DEQ is asking for money. A lot more money, and I don't know the number total. It's in the hundreds of millions, because they want to increase their staff. In my opinion, any increasement in staffing for an agency that finds businesses should never be allowed, but that's what they want. So that one's one I watch, because a lot of that stuff comes through our Climate, Energy, and Environment Committee. As far as the what's happening on some of the other agencies like Health and Human Services and some of those, they've all asked for increases. They've all, and a lot of that is planned in within the governor's budget, is planned to increase some of those salaries in some of those agencies. A lot more to come on that.
And what about funding for education?
That's also in the budget, and I think that is where the rubber meets the road on what our president decides to do with federal funding. And I don't think right now it's hard for them to pass much of that until they find out how much money they're really going to have to be able to work with.
And I'd gotten something just ahead of us going on from Representative Scarlatos earlier, talking about Oregon's policies regarding DEI, that might actually jeopardize some affordable housing units, maybe even possibly in Douglas County.
Yeah, it could. And he's working with Erica over there. I think it's Housing Umpqua.
Neighborhood
Works Umpqua, yeah. I actually had a meeting with her as well. Yeah, there's some policies in there that say if we don't pay attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion, that we lose federal funding for even some of those projects. This is not something that should be played with. This is something that our governor is making the conscious decision to put all of our programs at risk. And You know, I guess you can point the finger back at Trump and say he's putting them in risk, or you could say our governor's lack of compliance is putting them in risk. I'm gonna side with lack of compliance because, frankly, we need to start paying attention to not just DEI. We need to start paying attention to everybody.
And what is the, as you go through a normal week, what is the most frustrating thing about being a state representative for Roseburg?
Well, it's always going to be the minority party part of it, right? So you only have so much control over what happens in the House, whether it be in committee, because we're always down one. They always make sure they stack the committees. Or if, on the House floor, you're down, you know, we're 24 to 36. So they only need 31 votes to get anything passed other than taxes, and you know, we never have that. The frustrating part is there is a lot of bills that go through that the Democrats know that are just bad bills, and they would be happy to vote against them, but their caucus won't allow it. And that's the difference I think you see between the Republican caucus and Democrat caucuses. You'll see they'll toe the line no matter how bad it is, no matter how much it's a horrible thing to do, they'll do it. With the Republican caucus, you won't see that. If it's a bad bill, it doesn't matter. We just don't do it. You know, we won't vote yes on something that we think is something that's bad for the citizens.
And what's the best part about what you're doing?
I love the fight, and I'll never quit. And I represent, 75 to 77,000 people here, the majority of which doesn't matter to me if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We all have to get up in the morning and go to work, and we do the same things, and we have the same issues. They hired me to go up there and be their voice and their representative, and we've got some stuff done. I've actually had three bills now of my own clear the House, and on a few have been signed by the governor herself, so... You know, I'm there to do the job for the people that put me there, and I love what I do.
And again, the town hall, what time tonight?
6 o'clock tonight at the Roseburg City Council Chambers.
All right. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.